our motives. Based on what we think and what our motives are and our feelings are, you react. You could be, you know, there are different kinds of people in the world. Some people are nuclear reactors, right? You just touch them a bit, wow, right? That's a real dangerous cat, right? And then some people are just like a rock, almost no feelings, right? And you wonder whether they have feelings. Right? It's good to sing Rock of Ages, but once in a while sing, you know, Jesus, I'm thrilled. Praise God. Imagine all your life you sing Rock of Ages, clap for me. Right? But you never sing, I get so thrilled with Jesus. Right? And some people are like rocks. They don't seem to feel anything. Right? But we need to balance. So there are different type of personalities. Based on your motives, based on your thinking. See, if you're thinking in an incorrect way, and as people act in an incorrect way, the two will start rubbing. So in order to do what Jesus do, we have to think the way Jesus think, we have to feel the way Jesus think, we have to be motivated the way Jesus is motivated. And I can assure you, this is how the Jesus regard this world. Everything that is touchable, feelable, usable in this world, He regarded as just borrowed. That is why when He lived and died, He left nothing. Even the robes that He wore was taken by the soldiers and gambled away. He owned no house. He had no property. Because He knew where His home was. What about the concepts of Christianity that says, you know, that we are pilgrims on this earth? Isn't that the same concept coming forth? That this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now, some Christians live like this world is a permanent home. Oh. Let me get everything, right? Now, I'm not opposed to people being rich. I'm not opposed to people having properties. Because sometimes when you pay your rental, it's the same as you just paying your mortgage. So you might as well have it for a longer period. But never imagine that it's permanent. And we have Jesus. Everything in this life is not permanent. We are nothing. We have nothing. Think about everything you have as borrowed. Your house, your cars, your property, everything is borrowed by God. God allowed you to use it for a time. Like the little song that says, you know, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. And that song says, you know, Lord, remind me constantly. So the things that we have are borrowed. Borrowed temporarily, just to make life a little pleasant, so that, you know, and just for you to see how you react to those things. We have nothing. You will take nothing of this life to heaven, of the earthly property. What about marriage and your children? Marriage is only for this earth. And your children, listen carefully, your children are only borrowed to you for a short while. You were never supposed to cling to your children until they are 120 years old. I know the more you love, the harder to let go. Isn't that funny? But try to remember that they were never yours from the beginning. They were borrowed to you by God so that you have a chance of experiencing parenthood. The great mother nature and the father nature of God. And then be able to send them forth out to be adults in their life. they are never yours permanently. And of course, I'm not running down the concept of having relationships with everyone you love, right? Relationships continue just as a father has a good relationship with us, our Father God. And you have relationship with those you love. And you can still love your flesh and blood. But wasn't it Jesus who told his mother, when his mother came to him and wanted to see him? And then the word came to Jesus and he was teaching. And then somebody says, Master or Rabbi, your mother wants to see you. Jesus turns around, looks at the crowd and says, who are my mother? Or who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And he looked around at those who were listening to the word and his disciples and he says, these are my mother, my brother, and my sisters. Think about Jesus. Now, I'm quoting Jesus. If you find it hard, go have a word with him. Jesus said that. Now, hold it there. Don't take these words and run and begin hating your brethren, right? Your flesh and blood. Then that would be wrong. You've gone to the opposite side. Because Jesus, on the cross, when he died, took care of his mother. Right? Some people are going to misquote me and take these words and say, oh, look, I don't have to take care of my mom and dad or those I love anymore, and they become irresponsible people. Nope, I didn't say that. Jesus on the cross, dying, taking the sins of the world upon himself, feeling all the pain of all mankind. On the cross, he took time to say, John, would you take care of my mom? My mom, that's your son now. That's wonderful. He shows responsibility. So, that's to balance that subject. However, the concept of having nothing comes true. That as far as Jesus is concerned, flesh and blood are thick, but spirit is thicker than flesh and blood. His bonds of the spirit with his disciples were stronger. And he calls them his mother, his brethren. So all your earthly relationships were borrowed for a reason. Children are borrowed to you, so that you could instill in them whatever spiritual knowledge, natural knowledge, impartation you have in your life. And then, let them go. You know, some people cannot let go because they must have something, if not everything. When you have the concept that you have nothing, all the things, the early things are borrowed. The wonderful family and children that you have are borrowed. And then you realize you can also do nothing. We are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing. That's the concept of reckoning yourself dead in Christ. Now how does that apply into our practical life? How do we go from day to day with that concept? Because that concept is what I call a principle foundation. Now, how do I describe a principle foundation? You know how you sometimes can have 1,000 things, but there's one principle thing behind all those things. And you can have many types of musical instruments, a guitar, a flute, a piano, whatever musical concept things you can invent, or people can invent new musical instruments. But the basic rule behind all the instruments is a C chord and a C key has a fixed vibration. It may sound different and have different timbre, but it has a fixed number of vibrations per second. A G key has a fixed number of vibrations, and that is standard, whether it's a guitar, a flute, or piano, or some new instrument that you invent. And so the basic rule behind all those things govern all those instruments. And so there is always what I call a foundation and a principal thing guiding everything else. For example, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, looks like 9 fruit of the Spirit, is governed by one main key. Love. Let's look at that as a concept to bring it forth, to understand the concept of dying unto Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, Paul says, he's trying to bring forth the concept of walking in the Spirit, of walking in the concept of being crucified with Christ. Remember, this is chapter 5, continuing from chapter 2, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So down the road here, he reaches chapter 5, and he's telling them how don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. How you're going to continue your life in the Spirit. And it tells us what it involves in verse 22 and 23. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. In the New King James, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such, the last part is important, against such there is no law. Which means that when you walk within those things, you're within the law and you're over the law. You're in a different dimension altogether. And nothing can hinder you. Now the fruit of the Spirit, in many translations, they have a lot of confusion on some of the later part. But love, joy, peace is common in all the translation. Long-suffering has been translated as patience in some translations. Or perseverance in some translation. And long-suffering is actually the Greek word makrotumia. And it does involve more than long-suffering and perseverance. It talks about an energy on your inside that enables you to pull through all things. Makrotumia, which is a very powerful word. The word tumia, which is from the root word tumos, means heat or fire. So you can understand that long-suffering is not a concept of just putting up with things. Long-suffering is a concept where nothing quenched the fire inside you. Oh, hallelujah. It's not just suffering. It is that whatever is thrown against you, they couldn't put out a fire. No, there are some types of fire that you cannot put out with oil, water. If there is a burning fire of oil and is in the ocean, you cannot put it out with water because it keeps floating up. So the only way, for example, try putting out the fire from an oil a place where they're drilling oil. In the Gulf War, the bad guys burn some of the oil fields. And look, there's enough fuel to continue burning for the next 100 years. Who's going to put out that fire? It ain't some fireman somewhere is going to go there and shoot water. It's not going to work. It needs a new technology to put out a fire. They had to understand the concept of fire, that oxygen feeds the fire. So, they put out, in a sense, they put out fire with fire. What they do is that they put a group of explosives, which is fire. So, as the explosives explode in a certain pattern, it sucks out the oxygen, and as the fire lacks the oxygen, it goes off. And as it goes off, of course, suddenly you see the black oil coming out. They quickly cap it. And you cannot put out that kind of fire with ordinary water. Or take your fire extinguisher there. If you do that, it's time to say goodbye. You'll be charcoal. Long-suffering means that nothing can put out the fire of God on your inside. Makrotumia. The fire of God The word thermos flask comes from the Greek word thermos, which emphasizes heat and heat. And